If you haven't ever noticed, there's a slightly larger-than-life statue of Gandhi in Union Square, across the street from the Diesel Jeans store.
Everybody.
He shares the park with Washington, Lafayette, and Lincoln, men who owe their place in history to war, unlike Gandhi, who owes his to avoiding it. And since so many monuments memorialize war, Gandhi probably gets to feeling a bit alone. Not today.
Take the flowers in your right hand. Circle three times while looking at Gandhi.
It's been 60 years since Gandhi was assassinated, and to commemorate him, the Satyagraha Forum organized a walk as well as speakers on nonviolence, and this gesture, a flower petal offering from the crowd of a few hundred. Originally, the forum hadn't planned to do anything about Tibet, but for the day's program, they added Tibetan master Gelug Rinpoche. It was a nod to the enormous attention being paid to Tibet right now.
We've been under the communist Chinese control over 50 years, and they have a total control over Tibet.
The well-known Buddhist teacher reflected on this month, a month of violent upheaval in his birthplace of Tibet.
It is a really sad indeed month, and the situation is very sad.
As a term, Satyagraha has never really taken hold, but the objectives are key for the Tibetan cause. When His Holiness the Dalai Lama accepted his Nobel Peace Prize, it was a tribute to Gandhi, he said, and the modern tradition of nonviolent action for change.
This protest, held in front of the Chinese consulate a few weeks back, was vocal but peaceful.
The few hundred Tibetans and their supporters had gathered to protest what they call the Chinese occupation of Tibet. Most people seemed aligned with His Holiness and his Buddhist values.
It gets frustrating, but at the end of the day, I think the nonviolence path is the correct way.
But some activists are also influenced by people like this man, Lasong Charing.
I have no problem with nonviolence. My problem is with non-action. And for me, the two are not the same.
In the early 1970s, he joined an armed Tibetan resistance group. And in a lesser-known part of Tibetan history, he was trained by the CIA. Charing has grown impatient using nonviolent means and has broken with the Dalai Lama.
Freedom will not come by waiting. Freedom must be fought for and won.
As the afternoon went on, the crowd grew in size and volume. Suddenly, someone threw rocks at the consulate. More police officers on horseback appeared up 12th Avenue, and the otherwise peaceful gathering turned more aggressive. It was over as quickly as it had begun. But as things calmed down, something revealing happened. A rumor made its way through the crowd.
They weren't sure if it was actually a Tibetan guy who threw a stone. They kind of looked like an American guy.
It wasn't a Tibetan who had thrown the rock, they speculated. It must have been a white guy. These volunteers with Students for a Free Tibet wanted nothing to do with even the shadow of violence, not even a few rocks being thrown at a building. This is the group behind some of the Olympic torch disruptions. They're very media savvy and believe in the Gandhian tradition of creative, nonviolent action. For them, there is no debate.
Individuals have opinions about what exactly is nonviolence, where do you draw the line, property versus people. But as an organization, Students for a Free Tibet is committed to nonviolence.
At their headquarters a few days after the rally, this volunteer explained that the rock-throwing incident, like the violence in Tibet, creates a dilemma, because the violence draws attention.
When did the world send media to the last Tibetan protest? It's when a few young, angry Tibetans picked up stones and threw them at the consulate. So it's like the world is also sending the Tibetan people a mixed message.
The problem with drawing attention from violence is that it only works for a short period of time.
Mark Kurlansky is the author of the nonfiction bestsellers Cod and Salt. He's also written a history of nonviolence and is part of this month's Satyagraha events.
The reason we are so interested in these few million Tibetans and their plight is because they don't go around killing people. There is something edifying and exciting and empathetic about people who fight for their cause without using violence.
Tibet, as a cause, seems to have particular appeal to Westerners. And if the cause remains committed to nonviolence, argues Kurlansky, it's the kind of appeal that can inspire operas, disrupt the Olympics, and gather believers in Union Square. For WNYC, I'm Amanda Aronchik.